This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys from the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of this lovely property, the Circa Resort and Casino. We had a fun first hour. If you missed it, make sure you check it out. Just search Lombardi Line wherever you get your podcast. We have a fun second hour on deck for you guys as well. Taylor Mathis, betting analyst, will join us in studio for a couple of segments. Taylor in town for Bet Bash, which is going on. A lot of professional and recreational bettors gathering here for a weekend of networking and a bunch of seminars and panels. I believe Taylor was a part of one of the panels this morning. We'll get her, I guess, kind of bogged down version of the panel. I believe Taylor's waiting outside the studio right now, as you can see here. Taylor getting ready to join us in studio here on the Lombardi Line. But we do have some drama, Mike Palm, to start the Olympics. We'll get to some NFL headlines here just shortly. But we are now deep into stoppage time between France and Spain in the gold medal match for the men's soccer side. As we're heading to break in hour number one, France converting a penalty kick in stoppage time. So
the United States was DQ'd.
Oh, in the 4x1.
Yeah.
So we must have had the terrible, because I was like, that's a terrible exchange. Yeah. I didn't know that was us. It must have been us. We were looking at it, actually, by the way, for those who did not watch it, the 4x100, the first exchange for the United States was a DQ. So we did not, obviously, medal or anything on the podium. We are dead last because we were disqualified. Canada, our neighbors to the north, a 33-1 shot to win gold. 4-1 just to get on the podium, and Canada wins the men's 4x100 Olympic relay. Like, that's what I love about track and field. You can think you know what's going to happen, but you never know, because all it takes is a bad exchange. Jamaica had a bad exchange that disqualified them in the prelims.
Yeah, they didn't make the final.
They didn't even make the final. We all thought USA-Jamaica. Jamaica DQ is in the prelims. United States does it in the final. Oh, Canada gets it done 33-1, winning the gold in the 4x1. So it's been a dramatic day on the track and field, and a dramatic day now on the pitch as we're heading to extra time between France and Spain. But while we're waiting for that to get back underway and to resume, let's go over some of these NFL headlines that we have to break down. It will start with the Chicago Bears and head coach Matt Eberflus. So the team's healthy starters will play in tomorrow morning's preseason game against the Buffalo Bills, meaning we will see the debut of number one overall pick Caleb Williams. The former Heisman Trophy winner will make his debut for the Chicago Bears. They'll be taking on the Bills, and Josh Allen will expect to play a quarter. So it's going to be Caleb Williams versus Josh Allen, Bears, Bills. A lot of excitement to start our day Saturday morning.
Well, it will be, because that's going to be the game with the headlines with the starters playing. Of course, the second game for the Bears. So we actually might see more right on that game than any of the other ones, because we've got confirmation of the quarterback's going to play. Now, how long are they going to play? We don't know. Only the head coaches know. But at least we'll get our first glimpses.
Oh, 100%. Caleb Williams is like the really, really short shot to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, around plus 150, plus 130. That is aggressive, I think. But like, I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. He was really good at USC. I get why he's the favorite. But to be that short of a shot when we've never seen him play in the National Football League, and we've never seen any of these rookies play, which is why I don't think anybody should be that short. Last year, the favorite this time was Bryce Young. How'd that work out? You know what I mean? The quarterback that the market was not into was C.J. Stroud, because Bryce Young was a short shot, and I believe there were some position players, and then it was Anthony Richardson was the second shortest quarterback, and then Stroud was like 10-1. Everyone just wrote off Stroud. The Texans are going to be bad. It can't be C.J. Stroud. The guy won it damn near unanimously.
Did you have any piece of that?
Late in the season, plus 150, even money, just like to cover some bets that I had on other guys. Because I bet Bryce Young before the season started, and I was like, within a month, I was like, this is a dead ticket.
How about this year? Have you dipped your toe into this market yet this year?
So the guy that I would look at right now, and the guy that I wrote up about in our Pro Football Betting Guide, which we encourage everyone to go ahead and do, but you have to be a VSiN Pro subscriber to get it, Bo Nix, 16-1.
So you're hoping he starts.
Here we go down that road, Bo Nix. This Bo Nix road that I've been
on. Almost finished third in the Heisman voting.
Get out of here. He would have won it if he beat Washington in that Pac-12 title game. But no. I digress. 16-1 on a quarterback who I think will start week one. Like, I don't really buy into the Sean Payton QB3 in the depth chart. Like, that's a Parcells move. Mm. Make all the rookies third stringers. Like, that's just what Parcells does. Bo Nix will be their week one starter. Sean Payton put his neck out there betting on Bo Nix to be a good quarterback. His job is essentially on the line with this Bo Nix selection, so they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that works. So that's the guy that I would bet on, because we know there's going to be three quarterbacks who are going to start week one, or at least two that we know for sure, a third one in Bo Nix, who I think has a really, really high probability of starting week one. But Caleb Williams is plus 135. You have Jaden Daniels plus 550, and then Bo Nix 16-1. Why not take the longest shot, because we've never seen any of these guys play in the National Football League?
Yeah. I have high hopes for Jaden Daniels.
I think the Commanders might make the playoffs.
I think
it's a hot take, but I think they have a chance.
What price would you need to take they finish ahead of the Cowboys?
Because the Cowboys are they're still competent in the regular season. If you gave me like 3-1, 4-1 in that range.
So when I talked about, and I've said this several times, betting the exact superfectas in these AFC West, NFC East. The thing I'm most scared of Philly, Dallas, Commanders, Giants, is the Commanders being above Dallas for second. I'm not afraid of Dallas beating Philadelphia, and I'm not afraid of the Giants finishing ahead of anyone. I think the closest gap is between the Commanders. Well, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. The offensive line has got to get better.
100%.
Right? I mean, they can't allow that kind of pressure on the quarterback. Now, obviously, he's more elusive, but he won't be around long if he's getting hit as much as the previous two.
Would you ever take a stab at the Commanders to win the NFC East?
No, I don't think so.
8-1.
I don't think so.
That means you trust Philadelphia?
You got to overcome two teams there that are
two teams
on paper better than you.
Two teams that the vibes are not very good based on the way last season ended.
Well, I would wait, and maybe you're not going to get the best price. You're going to know Philly early. I think you know Philly within the first month of the year. And if they get out to a good start, they'll be all right.
But if it's wishy-washy,
then they're vulnerable. When things went wrong, they went wrong for 10 weeks.
They were 10-1, and all of a sudden they were one of the worst teams in the league.
They were Super Bowl runners-up who had a double-digit lead in the first half against the Chiefs, and then 10-1 the next season, and end up getting blown out on the road in a wild card game to Tampa Bay.
The Niners killed them. The Cowboys killed them. They lost at Seattle. Jonathan Gannon in the revenge game came in and swung the NFC East title to the Dallas Cowboys. And then the Bucks absolutely tore them to pieces in that wild card game. Like, as much as I've said about Dallas being horrendous and what the way the last year ended and all that stuff, at least that was one game. The Eagles, it was more than a month of playing like a bottom third team in the NFL. And then by the time they actually got to that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they looked like one of the five worst teams in the league. It was that bad. Can they really correct it in just one offseason to get back to where they were a couple weeks ago? Or a couple seasons ago, I should say, because it feels like everyone's just like, oh, Philly will get it right. I don't know. I saw the ESPN expose this week about the fracture between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Like, I think the Eagles, like, I would make them the favorites, but odds on minus money, I don't think that they deserve that kind of credit just based on how last year ended.
Okay, I can buy that, but it's a long way to go from where the Commanders were to be better than that.
And the vibe's got to be a total 180, though, for that Washington team. Well, Rivera gone. Dan Quinn, Mr. Vibes coach, is now in.
Yeah.
Cliff.
You get a new ownership. I think they've got potential there. And I don't mind you saying they're a fringe playoff team. They might make the playoffs. I think that's definitely a possibility. I just don't know. I think you're probably going to have to win 11 or 12 games to win that division. I don't know if I can get that far with them.
Well, let's say this. At the end of the season, isn't there a chance that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in that division?
Well, that's why I say at 550, he's not worth it. He's not a bet. He would be my second choice.
For offensive rookie of the year. Okay. Division might be a little bit too much, maybe a little overzealous, but I am kind of into this Commanders team just because I'm not as into Philadelphia as the market is. I'm definitely not into Dallas, just given like what's happened over the course of what hasn't happened over the course of the offseason. Although I still think the Cowboys might find their way into the playoffs, which is just frustrate me as a fan. I do think that there's room for some sort of surprise. Who knows? It could be the Giants. Like, I don't think it's the Giants because I'm like all the way out on Daniel Jones and that experience. But I think that there's a lot of room for somebody to surprise in the NFC East. And I think the Commanders are the team that I've sort of identified. Maybe they won't win the division, but I think that they could win enough games to perhaps get into the playoffs because the NFC wildcard race, I think that's going to be a weak race. You can make arguments for a lot of those teams. Minnesota being another one that I like, the Vikings. That's a team that I've been kind of pounding the table for all season. I think Minnesota's an interesting one. New York Jets camp. Robert Saleh said that Mike Williams, their wide receiver who they acquired this offseason, is a lot further ahead than anticipated and has now been activated off the PUP list. the Ifers, as our very own Michael Lombardi has coined this team. If everyone stays healthy, if everything works out, maybe they have a Super Bowl ceiling. But they're just, they're banking on a lot of if this on injury-prone players, Mike Williams chief among them.
Frank Schwab, who's going to be on my panel, preview panel in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow, this is his pick to win the Super Bowl this year.
He's going with the
Jets. He's going with the Jets.
Wow.
He's going with the Jets. He thinks they've addressed their offensive line issues and that their defense is elite, that they've got players at all three levels, and he thinks they can. That's his – because a couple years ago, he was the first guy that I talked to that summer that was really on the Eagles train.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the year, of course, 2 years when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and had, and he says, thanks for reminding of it when I talked about that. But he thinks the Jets are the one team that maybe it still has some value left in him because of the question marks, because of the ifers factor.
Mm-hmm.
You get value preseason in betting them. So I try to find a reason to go against the Bills. I couldn't, so I stayed away from the AFC East. I'm not in on the Dolphins, though, I can tell you that.
Really?
I'm not in on the Dolphins.
The offense can be maybe the best offense in the league.
There's something wrong there organizationally. Like when they rejoice when Vic Fangio decides to leave. There's something wrong there.
Yeah, he's a really smart mind. And yeah. They all hated him.
Because they like that loosey-goosey attitude that they have. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do.
Vic wasn't,
that's what that head coach has created.
Vic wasn't rolling up his pants like Mike McDaniel.
No. The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Now, the Jets are 20-1. To win the Super Bowl, 11-1 the AFC. I think it's possible. I just don't know if I'm going to buy into all these ifs that have to happen for it to ultimately happen. Taylor Mathis, betting analyst, joins us in studio next here on the Lombardi Line. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We're rolling along here on a football Friday. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas and joining us in studio. Always a pleasure to have an in-studio guest with us here on the Lombardi Line. The one and only Taylor Mathis, betting analyst in town for Bet Bash. I'm sure firing away a lot of stuff. We got the Olympics, Major League Baseball, preseason football going on. How has your Vegas experience been treating you so far?
Oh, it's been great. Surprisingly great in a really good way. This is my first time being on Fremont over here in Old Vegas. So this has been really fun, different experience than what I'm used to of staying on the Strip like I normally do. And Bet Bash itself has been great. I've met so many great people within the betting industry, got to talk to so many different people and learn so many new things that people have ideas of that are up and coming within the betting industry too. It's crazy to see how many creative minds that really exist within sports gambling.
You're going to be with us for a couple segments, and we'll look at the baseball card, and then the next segment we'll talk a little bit about football, NFL, and college. But I want you to explain to everyone who may not have seen you before or are new to getting exposed to you kind of what your pathway was from Illinois to the University of Iowa to where you are today.
Yes, my path has been interesting within the sports media realm in general. I grew up in a very small town in Illinois called Sandwich. Went to the University of Iowa, and I pretty much knew that I wanted to do sports journalism. I double majored in sports studies and journalism, got my degree, and I started in local television. Moved to Nebraska, made barely any money, did my grind. I was a sports reporter and an anchor. Shot, edited, reported, did all the work, all the nine yards. Moved into the digital realm, covering the NFL in Dallas for a while for a company called Chat Sports. Then I was a sideline reporter for the Suns for two seasons, which was an incredible experience to cover the NBA on that level. Got laid off during COVID, and then I moved into the betting realm about 3 years ago now. And that's where I've been since then. Was with Sports Grid for a while, worked with Superbook, kind of made my way into the sports betting world as an analyst, and it's been great.
Yeah, that's really good. I feel like a lot of us share similar stories. I was also a local news kid as well,
yeah.
Doing that grind. So I understand like the one-man band tough. And all that stuff. It's a lot. This is a lot more fun, I'd say.
It is a lot more fun, but you get the most experience in the industry. Yeah. I felt on the ground floor doing local television. So even though it was a grind, it was great.
Yeah, no, 100, I guess a necessary grind, it you is. Could say at least. So what do you like to mainly like to handicap? Because I know we have some NFL stuff, some Major League Baseball stuff. I know you've been big on baseball, been giving out some of those plays there. Some of our guys back there, they tailed you on some stuff. They were able to win
awesome.
The other night. So you're handing out
that.
Winners. We hope we hand out some winners later on in this segment. But I guess what are your favorite sports to sort of handicap?
Oh, definitely baseball is up there for me. Baseball's really how I got into sports, and it became my first love. I'm a giant Chicago Cubs fan, so that was really how that all started. And handicapping baseball was pretty natural for me because it's a sport that I already follow so closely. Baseball's definitely up there. The NFL and the NBA, I would say, are my other two sports. They're areas, again, that are two sports that I follow very closely, so it was very easy from going from just a sports reporting type of standpoint to moving into gambling with sports that I already naturally enjoy watching. Those are kind of my three areas that I heavily cover, and I mainly focus on props. That's always kind of been my niche.
All right, let's get to today's card. First thing I saw this morning when I was looking at it is that the wind's blowing out at Fenway.
Exactly.
16 miles an hour is predicted for this afternoon. You've got two plays in a big series opening up, Astros and Red Sox, mm-hmm. both for the AL West and in the AL wild card race. Why don't you go through those plays for us, Taylor?
Oh, well, you just spoke to it. The wind blowing out today at Fenway. You've already got a very hitter-friendly ballpark. It's been considered the second friendliest over the last three seasons. Plus the wind blowing out, I think this total is going to soar over that 9.5 runs. The Astros offense through the last few weeks hasn't been as good, but still they are a top 10 offense right now against right-handed pitchers. You've got guys like Yordan Alvarez and Jose Altuve that can hammer a guy like Tanner Houck. And Tanner Houck started out this first half of the MLB season phenomenal, but now we're starting to see the dog days hit and that exhaustion and that grind really set in for some of these Red Sox starters. And Houck being one of those guys through his last three starts, his command has just been way off. He's walked 17 batters through his last 30 frames. We're also seeing his hard hit rate throughout the season has sat at a 33% through his last three starts. It's up to a 43%. I think that this Astros lineup, regardless of the slump they've been in a little bit, they can get to Houck, especially going that over 1.5 walks. That's one of my other favorite plays for him. The Astros through the last 15 days in baseball, they've had one of the top walk rates in all of baseball. So I would go over Houck on that 1.5 walks and then give me the over on the total there with the Astros and the Red Sox today.
We're hanging out with Taylor Mathis, betting analyst here in town for Bet Bash here on the Lombardi Line. And she's joining us in studio. You're big on this Red Sox team. Would you like them to actually make the playoffs? They're plus 105 right now over at DraftKings. They're a game and a half outside the Kansas City Royals. They took 2 out of 3 in Kansas City earlier this week. Would that be an interesting play for you to go ahead and bet the Red Sox to make the postseason?
I think Red Sox fans would love for me to say yes. And with what we saw in the first half of the season, they reached above expectations from what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. I think the starting rotation there is going to be the biggest problem to see if they can get into the playoffs, because we are seeing a lot of that exhaustion out of a lot of their starting pitchers right now. Mm-hmm. I would sprinkle some money on it, though. I think there's a chance. I like this Red Sox team and what they're doing right now, although I was very high on the Kansas City Royals to go over their win total preseason, and I like what the Kansas City Royals have been able to do so far this year as well. So I think that'll be a tight, interesting race to watch within the AL wild card.
You mentioned you grew up a huge Cubs fan.
I did.
They're going to be on the south side this week. Well, for two games, off on Sunday in these cross-city rivalries. But they've got to try to make up some ground, get back into this wild card race at least. And they get that chance in playing the White Sox. Crochet going tonight against Jameson Taillon. You've got to play a prop on Taillon.
Yes, so I love pitcher props. That's always my go-to area. And I've got to go with Jameson Taillon to go under 5.5 strikeouts. And when I looked at these numbers, what really convinced me to take this play was his home and away splits. And granted, you could say this isn't an away game because they're on the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. But still, when he is in Wrigley, he's averaging over 5 strikeouts a game. When he is outside of Wrigley Field right now, he's averaging just a little over 3 strikeouts a game. I know that this White Sox lineup and this team is massively struggling right now. I mean, they hit an MLB record of consistently losing 21 games in a row. Was it 21, 29? Something like, 21 games in a row.
Like a million.
28-89 record right now. I know they're not great, but I do think that Taillon is not a very good strikeout guy. That's not really his bread and butter. And I do think that he will go under this number today, a 5.5 Ks.
So I'm from Seattle. I root for the Mariners, unfortunately. I saw Zach Wheeler absolutely dominate the Seattle Mariners in his last outing. It looks like you want to go against him back in the D-backs tonight. What is it about this matchup that you like back in Ryan Nelson against Zach Wheeler, who's in contention for the National League Cy Young?
I have to. Well, I live in Arizona right now, too. So I've also grown such a fandom for the Diamondbacks over the last few years because they've been so fun to watch as of lately. So I love this for the Diamondbacks because we are starting to see another hot turnaround like we did last year around this exact same time. The Diamondbacks offense right now, if anybody is going to get to Zach Wheeler, it's going to be the Diamondbacks right now. One of the best offenses in the league, top 10 in on-base percentage, top 3 in batting average and runs batted in right now in Major League Baseball. You've got Eugenio Suarez and Corbin Carroll both finally starting to find their footing at the plate. Jock Peterson's been great. Ketel Marte right now, one of the best hitters in all of baseball at the moment. On-base percentage of a 1.074. They have surprised me, shocked me. Things have turned around in a really good way. I like them today as a small home dog right now against the Phillies. And I think they have some momentum after yesterday was a hard-fought game, losing 6-4 to Philadelphia.
I asked you to give me one team that's currently not in the playoffs, if the playoffs started today, that you thought had a legit shot to win the World Series, who would it be?
The Diamondbacks, probably. And the only reason I am saying that, I might just be doubling down on what I said preseason. I was still high on the Diamondbacks to make the World Series going into this year, despite everybody always talks about a World Series hangover, a championship hangover. I was very high on this Diamondbacks team. I liked what they did in the offseason, the pieces that they went out and got. I liked what they did the trade deadline with their bullpen right now. It's been great, especially with Joe Manaply. He's very much underachieved right now for the Diamondbacks. I think if they can get their things together, especially on this offense that really struggled during the first half of the MLB season, I think the Diamondbacks still have a chance. I like them.
Yeah, they keep getting these arms back. Eduardo Rodriguez finally returned to the rotation there. He hasn't been able to pitch for the Diamondbacks dealing with injury. I think the Royals could be kind of that team in the American League this year.
That's the team.
They have the pitching. Bobby Witt Jr. has been awesome. Like that lineup, if they can get hot in October, maybe they could be some of a surprise team to win the pennant.
What realistic shot does he have at AL MVP?
He has a shot, which is, to me, it gives me sleepless nights now. Which I'm very invested in Aaron Judge to win AL MVP.
Are you?
And I think he's going to win it, and he should win it. Like, if the season plays out how I think it will, he should win it. But what's making it a conversation, which I do not like.
I like it. It makes it a little more fun. We need a little competition every now and then for Judge.
I'd rather us not have that. Taylor Mathis is going to join us for another segment on the other side. We'll talk some National Football League here on the Lombardi Line. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And Taylor Mathis is gracious enough to spend not one but two segments with us here in studio. Taylor in town for Bet Pash. I know Mike Palm, you'll be with the Sports Betting Hall of Fame induction. That'll be later on tonight. So it's a fun weekend of recreational bettors, professional bettors all gathering for some networking. We've been hanging out with Taylor. We talked some MLB in the last segment. Now let's discuss the National Football League. It'll be here 1 month from now. We'll get a full Sunday slate. Cannot wait for it. You have a couple win total bets. And I want to start with the Chicago Bears, the team of the offseason. They're on Hard Knocks. That's back underway. A lot of people excited about Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner at USC, now as their quarterback. Make the case for the Bears over 8.5 on the win total.
Oh, so I'm a Chicago native. I'm not a Chicago Bears fan, though. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Join the crew.
Yes,
he's a closet one. I'm an hourly cousin.
Oh, I love this. We've got a Cowboys crew here right now.
America's Lombardi line.
Hey, I love it. I don't know if I would say that I'm high on the Bears for this season, but I'm expecting improvements from last year. The win total was 7.5 last year. I take that back. They end with 7. I do think with Caleb Williams and company, they are going to be able to get over this win total of 8.5 this season. The expectations are high. They're always high in Chicago, and somehow that front office always seems to mess things up. But Caleb Williams has the pieces around him, and he should be able to find better success than any recent quarterback in Bears history has been able to. You've got DJ Moore. You've got Keenan Allen. You've got veterans around you that can do well, but then you've also got a wide receiver that was drafted in the top 10 and Roma Dunze. So we've got multiple options there on that offense when it comes to catching the passes that Caleb Williams is going to be throwing. The defense was great against the run last season. the area that always has concerned me for this Bears team is that pass defense. They ranked in the bottom 10 within the National Football League last year. It's still somewhat of a concern this year, but I do think with all the hype that's surrounding the Bears right now and hopefully the camaraderie that's existing within that locker room, maybe we will see a better defense here for the Chicago Bears. And when I look at their schedule off the bat, I see at least 5 wins right away. And then from there, the NFC North, I believe, is going to be one of the best divisions in the NFL this season. I'm not saying they're going to catch the Packers or the Lions by any means, but I do think there are several games that could be considered question marks that the Bears could end up stealing to get over this win total.
Are they a playoff team?
I'm going to lean no. I don't think so. Not yet. Not right now. If they don't make the playoffs, Chicagoans, don't freak out. I don't think that that means this is a failure and that Caleb Williams is not the answer for the Chicago Bears team. I don't think that they are yet prepared and ready for the playoffs, but I could be wrong. This could be a much better team than I'm expecting to see.
I just get concerned with the expectations with it being a rookie quarterback.
Exactly.
Like, rookie quarterbacks don't have win totals of 8.5. We're on the opposite side. I'm a Bears under guy.
Okay.
I just said,
fair enough.
It's Eberflus. I have big questions there. And then also Williams, who I think is going to be really good.
Me too.
But maybe he struggles as a rookie. I think there's just a little bit too much too soon for Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams.
Especially with the national hype kind of around them right now.
All eyes are on them.
It's a lot.
Your other win total that you've invested in is the local team here.
I did.
The Las Vegas Raiders, and you like them over.
I do. I see we have a disagreement here going on right now. I'm riding with the over because I look at this team, and I think the biggest question mark is surrounding the quarterback position right now. You've got a veteran in Gardner Minshew. You've got Aiden O'Connell, who did fairly well as a rookie, 5-5 last season. I think we'll start off seeing Gardner Minshew be the starter the first few weeks, but then I'm sure we're going to see some shuffling within that quarterback position. If you're Antonio Pierce, I feel like you have a lot to prove with coming in as an interim head coach last year, going 5-4, but he really does seem to have the locker room backing him, especially a guy that really is the epitome of the Las Vegas Raiders in Max Crosby on that defense. I think that the defense is going to need a little bit more help up front. Crosby needs a little bit more help, but I did like what we saw through the last 9 games of the season last year. They held their opponents to 16 points. If you can continue that great defense that you had towards the back half of the season and start to maybe mold somebody into your starting quarterback that's going to be able to get things done, they do have the receiving weapons around them, and they've got guys in that run offense now that are going to be able to have to take over and step up with Josh Jacobs leaving for Green Bay. I like them to go over because they are one of those teams through the last few seasons where I feel like they are sneaky. They sneak out these overtime wins, things that they're not going to get it done. They do have a rough schedule at the start, being on the road against the Chargers and the Ravens. I could see them starting 0-2, but some would argue that first game against the Chargers is a home game, being back in California.
Probably is a home game. I think they're the most popular team in Southern California. Right. Raiders 3-1 to make the playoffs, 9-1 to win the division. I think that's a little bit too much. They're never going to win that division. But the win total is sitting at 6.5, over -130, the under +110. You mentioned you are a Dallas Cowboys fan. I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. Mike Palm is a closeted Dallas Cowboys fan. What do you make of the Cowboys offseason and what hasn't happened? And also, what do you make of them in this regular season with their win total? It's some shops 10.5, but it's trending toward the under.
Well, talking about what we did in the offseason, we did nothing in the offseason. So from my perspective, going into the offseason, I will say too, I'm not a delusional Cowboys fan. Delusional Cowboys fans are always that this is our year. We've got this. I'm not like that. I was all for firing Mike McCarthy heading into this offseason. When they chose not to, we stick with him. We're sticking with our same moves. Dak wants to get paid right now at this point. Yet again, I go back and forth in my head with this because while I think that Dak is not going to win us a Super Bowl, I also don't know what other options are out there within the quarterback market that are going to be a better option right now for the Dallas Cowboys at that position. Don't love what I saw through the offseason. I would look to trend towards the under as well. We have a great regular season every year, and then it gets to when it matters, and they always let us down. So I like trending towards the under.
It's early August. Who do you have in the Super Bowl this year?
I'm going to go with the Ravens to win the Super Bowl right now. I know everybody is thinking we go with the favorites. We go with the Chiefs, the three-peat, which would be amazing to see in sports. We've got a new Tom Brady and the Patriots there and the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I like the Ravens, though. We always go back to defense wins championships, and you look at the Ravens through last season, top three in nearly every defensive category that exists. I think they're going to be even better this year. And I'm a little bit of a Lamar Jackson stan. I've loved him since his Louisville days, so I want to see him win a Super Bowl. And I think it's fun to take somebody who's not always the favorite every year, so I'll roll with Baltimore.
Yeah, if he could just stop getting sick, I think maybe he can get to the Super Bowl.
Right?
Who do you like to win the NFC? Who are the Ravens beating in the Super Bowl, in your prediction?
I'll probably go 49ers. I mean, it's a little hard to go against the 49ers right now. As a Cowboys fan, I feel like we should dislike the 49ers, but I also have soft spots. I like players within the NFL.
Uh-oh.
There are so many players on the 49ers that I enjoy.
What are you, a Kittle person or what?
I went to the University of Iowa. We graduated together. I'm like, I can't go against George Kittle and the 49ers, although if they're playing the Cowboys, not going with the 49ers. But I would take them to make it to the Super Bowl again. It's just they're coming up short. Recently,
this was going so well, and then she admitted she's rooting for the 49ers in some regard.
I'm sorry.
Taylor, we got about 2 minutes left. If you could give the listeners one piece of betting advice,
what would it be? Oh gosh, well, this is gonna be an interesting take that probably several bettors will not like, but I rarely parlay. That's like a huge thing for me. Parlays are for suckers. That's what I always say. I feel like parlaying things just to get better odds, you're going off a once in a lifetime possible hit that you're like, oh, I'm going to make this 10 legger. And if I hit this one, it's going to be better than that one straight bet that I made. That was -120 odds. I like straight betting. I think it's a more consistent, better way to bet as a sports bettor, and to also responsibly bet a little bit better is to stay away from the parlays a little bit more. That would be one of my pieces of advice. And then another thing for me, when you are betting the prop markets, especially in baseball, I focus on a lot of pitcher props. A big thing for me is to look at home and away splits. I think that's one of my biggest areas that I really look at, especially when I'm looking at K props. So if you're a baseball bettor, that's an area of statistical focus that I like to look at.
There we go. Dropping some knowledge on our audience here is stay away from the parlays. Mike Palm, you a big parlay guy?
Not a big parlay guy. I like round robins now and again.
Yeah, okay.
You got to space them out time-wise so that you have options for the last leg.
You get the different windows?
Yeah.
Well, we got the windows coming up. College football is right around the corner. The National Football League is right around the corner. Taylor, where can people find all of your work with the football season just on the horizon now?
Yeah, you can find me. All my social media handles are TMath Sports, and I've got a lot of really exciting things coming up this NFL season. I'm excited to hopefully announce pretty soon.
Nothing you want to break here on the Lombardi line?
You got to cross your cross the T's, dot the I's, all of that stuff first, but soon.
Gotcha there. So she's out here giving us teases on the Lombardi line. Taylor Mathis, we appreciate it. Betting analyst, join us in studio. Have fun at the rest of Bet Bash. Good luck on the panel later on today.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff there from Taylor Mathis. We'll wrap up the show on the other side, get you caught up on what's happening in the men's Olympic gold medal match between France and Spain, and give it our best bets next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Just don't sit right with Mike Palm.
You took all the money you made and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
Are you considering a bet that would make him sick?
I'm going to throw up. I think I'm going to throw up.
Don't throw up.
It's time to ask Mike, would Palm have a qualm?
Welcome back. It's the Lombardi Line here from the Circle Resort Casino Family Betfay. Mike Palm. It is now time for the critically acclaimed, would Palm have a qualm? And this week's theme is quarterback props in the National Football League. And the first one, Mike, C.J. Stroud, 30-plus touchdown passes in the regular season, plus 130. Do you have a qualm?
I don't. I think he's got a lot of weapons on that Houston team. I think their play calling will probably get more creative. They got a little stale last year. I think they had the highest run-run-pass sequencing in the whole league.
Their betters were screaming about this last year.
Got to mix it up. I know they're trying to play controlled when they're ahead as an underdog team, and but I think they got to be a little more creative. I think
he's got a variety of options to go to, maybe too many, as I pointed out, too many guys that need the ball. But I don't have a qualm with that. I think it's doable, and you're getting a decent plus price.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is going to make a vocal. He's going to want the football, yeah. So C.J. Stroud better look out for him.
He's been a problem everywhere he's gone.
Josh Allen says, I wouldn't necessarily say I'd miss him. I think he said it out loud right there. How about Russell Wilson with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Has been practicing in 7-on-7s, but hasn't really done a lot of team stuff. We're not expected to see Russell Wilson later on this weekend in their first preseason game. His passing prop, 25-plus TDs, pays out 3-1. Do you have a qualm?
I think it should be 3-1 that he plays 17 games. Or over 15.5.
Might need to be shorter than 3-1, yeah.
What do you think? I mean, I think that they brought Fields in for a reason. It wasn't to be a punt returner. And he's there. I mean, I asked Michael this question. Who do you think has a better shot at having a, remember when a year, rejuvenating a career year? Is it Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? I don't know. I think the skills have deteriorated on this guy quite a bit from watching him in Denver. I just don't think either for injury or for a decision that Pittsburgh makes that he's going to be the long-term solution there.
Who's their starting quarterback week one against the Falcons?
Yeah, I don't know that. I'm not ready to say it's Fields. Are you?
Let's see how he plays this weekend.
Okay.
It's a home game.
Yeah.
If he leads a couple touchdown drives, fans are going crazy on top of everything that's happened at training camp so far. I think the momentum starts to build for Justin Fields to make a case for him to be the week one starter.
All right. So I have a qualm with the Wilson.
I think that's a good one to have a qualm with. I think Fields has an avenue to play and play early. How about Caleb Williams? We talked about the Chicago Bears with Taylor Mathis in the last segment. Williams, the rookie, 4,000-plus passing yards, something that's never been done in franchise history, plus 350. Do you have a qualm?
It's a good statement in franchise history because I still think at their roots they like to run the football. 236 is a lot. When you think of it's almost 250, and then is he going to play every game? Does he miss a game here or there at any point? I think I'd probably need 7 or 8-1 to take that prop.
Yeah, I think
so. I have a qualm.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. It's just 4,000 for a rookie quarterback is asking a lot, and the weather conditions in that Chicago, it could be 50-mile-per-hour wind in December. You never know what's going to happen. 236 is asking a little bit much. I agree with you there. How about staying in the division? Jared Goff, who plays 14 of his 17 games indoors, avoiding the inclement weathers. 4,500-plus passing yards, plus 550. Do you have a qualm?
No, I don't have a qualm because I think that's a really dynamic offense, and I think Goff fits very well in it. I think they're poised to make an even deeper Super Bowl. I think that if I had to choose one team to win the NFC, it would be Detroit right now. Mm-hmm. And you made a great point. His Achilles heel has always been cold weather, having to play in bad spots. He avoids that. So I don't have a qualm at getting plus 550. If you said that you get 2-1, no, I'm not going to take it. But I think it's worth a shot at plus 550.
Would you bet him to win MVP around 20-1?
I think there's some players that have a lot more cachet and appeal than Goff. So yeah. I think that's maybe a bridge too far.
I know that's been the network play is Jared Goff MVP. But it's still Jared Goff. And I think there's going to be another compelling candidate along there with him. If Goff has the big statistical season, there'll be someone that they can just kind of veer to and be like, oh, no, we'll just give the MVP to this guy because we just think he's better than Jared Goff. I think it's a ticket that could age well, but not necessarily get home per se. Joe Burrow coming back from the injury with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's actually going to play in the preseason to maybe prevent some of those slow starts that we've seen in this Zach Taylor era. Burrow to throw 35-plus TD passes, same price of plus 550. Do you have a qualm?
I can't bet it right now because of the injury. That's the problem. And we talked yesterday with Michael during the pressing three. He's most concerned with Burrow's injury. The reports, the ball coming off his hand different. I mean, I'm already invested in Cincinnati to
win. You bet them Super Bowl?
Super Bowl and to win the division. I'm not adding this to it until I see a healthy Burrow.
And that's what this weekend is for. See the preseason. I would imagine he's out there for maybe 2 series at most, but at least to see something against live reps to see where Joe Burrow is at with that wrist injury that left him out for the second half of last regular season. All right, this one, some record-breaking ones. Any player to break the most passing yards in a regular season, so it's over 5,477.5 passing yards. You would need 322.2 yards per game. Pays out plus 550. do you have a qualm for any player to set the new single season passing yards record?
Yes, I have a qualm with it. Because if who would you identify as a quarterback that's going to throw for that many yards? Who would you, if I told you you could only take three that were eligible, I know that's not the bet, but who would you identify as the three that have a shot at throwing for that many yards? Would you say Tua?
He would be definitely
has to be one of them,
right? Has to be in there. Because like, that offense has the potential to be electric like it was last season. The injuries kind of bogged them down. Injuries to Tua is a little bit scary, but I think Tua's in the group.
I don't think it's Mahomes.
I think you have to put him in there just because of how good he is. And they improved the receiver room. Everyone keeps talking about a potential Rashee Rice suspension. I've heard nothing of that. Like, the NFL could drag it into next season. It's not guaranteed they suspend him this year. So let's say he plays. They got Hollywood Brown. They got some of these young weapons that they've kind of added. I think that Mahomes has to be in that conversation. The third guy, I don't know. About it. I mean, I guess Goff, would you put in there? There's nobody else in the AFC that I'd want.
Yeah, there's nobody else in the AFC. I guess it would be Goff.
Yeah. Mahomes, Goff, Tua.
Yeah. But I think I'd need 12-1 on this bet. Something to break the record.
Just so many yards. I get that they play the 17th game.
You have a 200-yard game, and then all of a sudden you got to have a 500-yard game.
Yeah.
You
know? That's tasking too much. How about any player to break the most TD passes in a regular season? 55.5 plus 850. That's a little bit more than three touchdown passes per game. That record held by Peyton Manning back in 2013, I believe it was. Do you have a qualm?
I do, because I just think, you know, these offenses get inside the five-yard line, and they're so good at running the football in. You'd have to have a team like that has no emphasis on the running game at all, that they're just going to throw it in when they're in the red zone all the time. They're going to throw it on first and goal from inside the five. Mm-hmm. So I do have a qualm with plus 850.
I mean, so many touchdown passes. You remember that 2013 season? Once again, 55 TD passes, 5,477 yards by Peyton Manning, which is also the record as well for the passing yards. So it's two of the Manning's records. Opening night, the Broncos played the Ravens at home because like the Baltimore couldn't host the game because the Orioles had a game and they share the parking lot. It was all very silly, but that's when he threw seven touchdown passes on that opening Thursday game, which kind of kickstarted this. So it's like you have to have one of those insane video game type of games to even like think that this could happen. Give me 20-1 on that, honestly. Yeah, like, it's just not going to happen.
You have anything on the baseball card today?
Nothing for me in the baseball card. I will officially give out, though, my Olympic bet in the bronze medal game, Serbia-Germany. I'm going with the Germans plus 115. I think Serbia emptied the tank in the semifinal against USA. What about you?
Little Malinsky type of play here with the Brewers coming back home after the road trip. I'm an anti-Aaron Civale guy. I've always been anti-Aaron Civale, whether he was with the Guardians, then Indians, or Tampa earlier in the year, or with Milwaukee. I know he had the one good game when he had the start against Skeens. I'm going to take the Reds and Spires first five today in Milwaukee, plus 115.
All right, Cincinnati Reds. Hunter Green is a little shaky yesterday.
Blew a 3-0 lead.
They ended up winning the game.
Yeah, they won in 10.
At least
they're still hanging
the
around. Cubs are kind of hanging around these teams, but it's kind of a separation weekend, too. Reds got to win at least two out of three here this week, and Cubs got to sweep the White Sox.
Are you with Taylor and fading Hauk and Blanco in this game at Fenway?
The wind is a big concern. I couldn't play it under because of the wind. I'm not with her on Arizona, though. I'm not going to play against Wheeler.
He's been good.
You watched on Sunday, right? They couldn't win a game. Philly couldn't win a game, and he just dominated.
Here's what the doctor ordered: the Mariners lineup. Zach Wheeler. I'm surprised Scoobal even gave up two earned the other night, giving up a home run to Cal Raleigh. But yeah, Rosin Blanco is getting plus 115 on the road at Fenway Park against that lineup. Good luck.
Astros power outage, coincidentally coincided with JVT selecting him in the invitational draft, as some avid listeners have noted.
That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Mike Palm, for our producer Justin Perry, and the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Benfei. Good luck with all the bet sharp money coming up next.